High School Football Roundtable. Zach's first? Is it Zach or the Chief first?
Going with the Chief first.
Chief first. All right. So we'll go with the team that won last week. Shikellamy beat Milton 14-0. Dave Ritchie joins us. Dave, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Steve. In fact, I'm standing down here watching the Braves go through their Thursday pre-practice. So get a bird's-eye view right now.
Perfect. All right, so 14-0. I want to start with the defense. You pitch a shutout. That tells you something. Have you seen an evolution in this defense in the short period of time in 3 weeks?
Yeah, they sure have come around. You know, the couple of question marks they had at the beginning was the kids that played outside backer, and both of those have developed quite well. And it's just a matter, I think, of getting some plays. You know, a lot of these kids, the varsity was last year. Shikellamy only played one JV game, and that was a controlled game. And a lot of these kids are going from 9th and 10th grade and, boom, right into their first varsity experience this year. So they're in their third game and they're playing better. So this will be the fourth game, so hopefully things will improve even more.
Yeah, how tough is that, Dave, when your JV program either is limited or shut down to the development of players along the way?
It's terrible, and I know all the schools are dealing with it, but I remember when I coached at Shikellamy, we had 30 some young men that played just on the JV team, and we practiced together all year long. We stayed away from the varsity, so we got all those reps in practice, and then we played a 7 or 8 game schedule. So those kids in 10th grade or the 9th graders were ready to play when they went up to the varsity the next year. And some of them played both on Monday nights in the JV game and on Friday night in the varsity game. So the whole thing was the experience was there. Without having a junior varsity program, a lot of kids are going from 8th grade and 9th grade football right up to varsity, and that's their first experience here on a Friday night. And I think, Steve, you know as well as I do that even the best athletes, you need a little bit of time on the field to improve and get better and understand the game.
Actually, I've talked about this even in reference to college players. I said one of the difficulty you may see in players who opt out this year, which, by the way, I'm not criticizing them in any way, shape, or form of opting out, but something to watch for, they're going to go 19 months between games. To me, Dave, you can only get better playing.
Exactly. I thought it was a real pain when I was in high school. In 10th grade, I played on Monday night, had to come back and scrimmage or play practice Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and then play on Friday night too. And I was thinking that was, you know, it's tough physical. But when you're 15 years old, you know, sometimes you don't think straight. But it sure did help me. I actually my sophomore season, I think I played in 18 football games.
All right, so there's no question that helps a ton. Now, here's this. Your practice right now. I remember last week when you were on, I said, what would it mean to win? What would it do for practice? Are you sensing either in conversation or just your own observation that it's had an effect on the jump in practice?
Oh, the kids are I don't think they really lost as the enthusiasm. They were a little disappointed after Jersey Shore beat them so badly, but last week they knew they were going to play Milton. I think they had a lot of confidence, and they're practicing the onside kicks right now, and there's a lot of energy. So I think Coach Kaiser does and his staff does an excellent job with keeping the kids up. But you are correct,
getting that win puts a little bit more of a hop in the step, and the kids get along a lot better out there. There's not as much finger pointing anymore.
No questions. All right, how do you view this week's matchup? What are the keys?
Well, first of all, Shamokin kept the ball away from Stealings Grove last week. I mean, the time of possession was just unbelievable for Shamokin, and Shamokin still only got one touchdown out of all those drives. The other one was the other two were defensive scores.
That's what the Shikland's going to have to, you know, keep Shamokin from having long sustained drives and keeping the ball so that they don't use all the time up.
I think that's a key. I think the Braves are going to have to, they're going to have to do
a good job with a team that puts 8 in the box and I know Coach Kizer probably has some plans for that, you know, try to get some quick passes. But I think just the whole idea that they scored right before the half against Milton and then they scored in the second half and threw a shutout, I think that's going to help a lot because, you know, Shmokin, coached by Coach Hynoski, they're, it doesn't matter what kind of season they're having when you're on their field and you play them. It's
a football game. So I think that's the key. Keep Shmokin's offense off the field. That's one thing that they did to Selinks Grove last week.
Dave, always a pleasure. I appreciate you very much.
Hey, thank you, Steve. You have a good How many more weeks until you're on the air? I'm trying to remember. Is it three?
Yeah, it's three. It's 23 more days. Okay.
Okay. Not that you have a chalk marks on your wall or anything, but
between Jack and me, it's like I feel like it's when Phil Donahue was going to New York, they kept marking the calendar. It's like
yeah.
All right. Let's go.
It'll get here.
It'll get here. Welcome to October.
Yep. Exactly. Well, thank you, Steve. Yep.
Thank you, Dave. You too. Zach Showers joins us now. Selinks Grove lost to Shmokin last week. Zach, they've scored 3 points in 2 weeks. In all the years I've done this, I never would have dreamed I'd be talking about Selinks Grove scoring 3 points in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely been a struggle the last 2 weeks, that's for sure.
All right, so why has it been a struggle? I know Shemokin's good. I understand that. They crowd the line of scrimmage, put eight in the box, the whole deal. But why such a struggle?
Well, there's been a number of different factors. 2 weeks ago, we talked about with Central Mountain. A lot of that, Selinks Grove was able to move the ball on some short fields. And frankly, they just were not able to capitalize on anything. Last week, the offense really just stalled. Looked at some numbers going into last week, and Selinks Grove ran 18 plays on first down, and only four of them went for positive yardage. So that was a big thing last week. Selinks Grove just was not able to really get anything started on drives, and because of that, they were constantly playing, they average second and 12 on second downs and third and nine on third and nine. So they were just playing behind the chains all day. One of the big things, too, is just the line continues to just really struggle with assignments. And when Selinks Grove lost running back Nate Schoen, they kind of lost really one of their main playmakers. And when you look at Selinks Grove, especially at running back and at wide receiver, they have some complementary players. But in years past, they've been able to have that one guy that they can kind of go to make a play. And while there's guys that are making plays here and there, they have a lot of guys that are just complementary, and you'd probably like to see them a little bit more making plays off of some star guys and not being the ones with the pressure to do so.
Yet the defense has hung in there. Why?
I think one of the big things to kind of play off the offense a little bit, it seems like the offense, a lot of guys are having to think too much. And with defense, there's a lot of experience back, and those guys are comfortable with their assignments. They know what they're doing, and they're playing fast and aggressive because they're not having to think too much. So they've been able to really bear down in some pretty tough situations. Last week, again, they only gave up one score. So this team in three games is 1-2, but they have given up three offensive touchdowns. All three of them came off of drives of 80 yards or more. So it seems like they've given up that one drive, and then they've shored things up, and they've been able to bend but not break. Unfortunately, last week against Shmokin, and the Chief mentioned, Shmokin was really able to control the ball and had a number of drives, two drives around 5 minutes and another drive of 8 minutes that they didn't score on, but they were able to eat up a lot of clock.
And it's demoralizing when it's like that. That's a big problem, because when they do that to you and keep punching you in the mouth, it's really hard to respond.
Yeah, and absolutely. And when we have so many guys playing both ways, it seems right. Like there's a lot of effort on that defensive end, and then those guys get to offense, and You know, they've had to make a lot of plays on defense. Doesn't seem like it's there offensively.
So what does it take to break through this week?
Well, Salins Grove is going to come in to this game probably the biggest underdog against that they've ever been against a Jersey Shore team. Jersey Shore is ranked second in the state in a lot of the polls in Quad A. A lot of what I've heard from the coaching staff is, you know, they're really just trying to simplify things offensively. Jersey Shore is probably the best defense it is definitely the best defense we've seen all season, and they're going to load the box again. So it's going to be a lot of the same thing for the third week in a row. Can Salins Grove handle the pressure? Especially for Jersey Shore offensively, they're averaging over 50 points a game, averaging 450 yards per game. They have a senior quarterback, Brandon Wary, who's thrown over for 500 yards and 11 touchdowns. They have a stable of running backs and wide receivers that they can go to. So it's going to be a very, very tough matchup for Salins Grove. I know the message this week is kind of you have nothing to lose, so let's get back to some of the basics, and let's try to get some positives and make some plays, going into the second half of the season after this week.
Always a pleasure, Zach. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That game will be on Eagle 107. On 100.9 The Valley is Lewisburg. Greg Wetzel joins us. Greg, great to hear you on the other end. How are you?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for asking, my friend. All right. Is there a common theme that you've seen in each of the 3 weeks that Lewisburg on its end has not been able to overcome?
Well, their offense and defensive line, they just they've been controlled by all three teams this year. Against Danville, the one bright spot was for a quarter and a half, Lewisburg had Danville on the ropes. I mean, they outplayed them from about the middle of the first quarter till halftime. And they were trailing 14-7 at halftime. It probably should have been 14-14 because Lewisburg had first and goal on the six-yard line. And the snap went over the quarterback's head in the shotgun formation. They lost 20 yards. Now it becomes first and goal on the 26. Or second goal on the 26. And, you know, Lewisburg just doesn't have the offense to overcome a mistake like that. And then the first play of the second play of the second half, Lewisburg has the ball. First play, they had a nice run. They throw a pass downfield, intercepted, return for a touchdown. And that just kind of negated their momentum. And it was 21-7 at that time. And Lewisburg played well the rest of the game, but it was just too big of a deficit for them to overcome against a team like Danville.
No question. Here's the problem. When you're not winning, do you sense that you start to feel like they think, not true, but they think they have to play a perfect game, and all of a sudden you're almost waiting for something to happen?
Yeah, I do sense that with them sometimes. But you know what? I've been to practices, talking to the coaches before, after games, after practices. I talked to the kids on the team. They're all upbeat. I mean, they all feel good. They're giving the maximum effort, but you can tell there's that seed of doubt in their mind because they just can't get over the hump. They haven't been ahead. I'm sorry. They were ahead 7-0 against Mifflinburg, but that's the only time they've been ahead the whole year. They've been playing from behind all season.
And if you've heard me say it once, you've probably heard me say it 150 times in this show, no matter what sport I'm doing. Maybe even more than that. Always one of the keys to me is playing with the lead. I've always felt that. Make the other dude play uphill.
Exactly. And that's one of the things the coach is talking about this week. Getting the lead because both teams are coming in 0-3. They played similar opponents. Midwest has played Danville, and they played Central Columbia. They lost to Central Columbia by a score of 42-20. They lost to Danville by a score of 55-20. So similar scores. Similar teams in that Lewisburg and Midwest both like to run the football. If you get in the pass, that's to the defense's advantage. So scoring first this week will be huge for either one of these teams.
I mean, obviously big plays mean something, Greg. Mm-hmm. But what would it mean for Lewisburg? And you talked about, you know, that the in the trenches they've struggled. What do we mean to Lewisburg? Is say in the first quarter they went on maybe a 12-play, 80-yard drive. You know, even though it's not a big play, but they do something and can demoralize the other guy.
Oh, that would be huge. And it would give them such a boost of confidence. And that's what happened last week against Danville. They literally went on a 14-play drive about 70 yards down the field and scored a touchdown. And that you could just see the life come back into them. You know, they were down 14-0 at the time. They had just, previously is when the snap went over the center's quarterback's head. Then they get the ball back. They stop them, the punt. They get the ball back and drive right down the field and score. I mean, they felt great about themselves. And then, again, the interception, the first, second play of the second half, and they're back down again. So, yeah, a play like a drive like that or a big play, big run and a score would be huge for Lewisburg.
Well, Greg, they got Midwest coming up tomorrow night on 100.9 The Valley at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to it and looking forward to your – or Saturday night.
That's right. Saturday night football this year. Yep. We're Saturday night.
That's right. Saturday night football. Yep. You know, I mean, now I realize – see, it's in the Suits contract that he doesn't do Saturday games.
That's exactly right. He doesn't have to.
I mean, so then there's a guy like you that you just say, what night do you need me there? It's just, I mean, it's great working with a professional.
I just show up when they want me.
Greg, you're the best. It's great to hear you, man.
Hey, take care.
Greg Wetzel. That'll be Saturday night at 100.9 The Valley when they take on Midwest. So there's your lineup. News Radio 1070 WKOK with that matchup, Shamokin against Shikellamy. Sealands Grove has Jersey Shore and Eagle 107. And then Saturday, it'll be Lewisburg against Midwest on 100.9 The Valley.